This is Recruiting Daily's Recruiting Live Podcast, where we look at the strategies behind the world's best talent acquisition teams. We talk recruiting, sourcing, and talent acquisition. Each week, we take one overcomplicated topic and break it down so that your three-year-old can understand it. Make sense? Are you ready to take your game to the next level? You're at the right spot. You're now entering the mind of a hustler. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup. Thank you for listening to the Recruiting Daily Podcast. Today, we have Melissa on from Planful, and we're going to be talking about the need to invest in workforce planning, a workforce planning solution for the next year, for 2021, and why we need to be thinking about that right now or today, etc. Without any further ado, Melissa, would you do me and the audience a huge favor and introduce both yourself and Planful for those that don't know the company?
Great. Well, thank you so much, William. I'm Melissa Druth. I'm the Senior Vice President of People and Culture at Planful. South African by birth, stayed for a couple of years in Australia, now American by marriage. So a hodgepodge of accents. And I run People and Culture for Planful. For those who aren't familiar with Planful, we're a financial planning and analysis cloud platform provider. And essentially what that means is that we unify the financial planning, close, consolidation, and reporting process for our finance teams as well.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad you got to the accent thing first so that I didn't have to. It would have, for 30 minutes, it would have literally have bothered me. Like, what is that? I can't figure it out. Let's talk a little bit about workforce planning, because I think sometimes it gets kind of a knock on some levels because it is HR, but also finance cares about it. Operations cares about it. There's a lot of different folks that kind of care about workforce planning. In your experience, where has workforce planning been successful, and how do you kind of navigate the relationships of other people caring about workforce planning?
Yeah, you know, I always joke, you either love your finance team or you hate them if you're in HR. And I think that is the joy of workforce planning, because it's really elevating the financial IQ of an HR department and allowing them to speak the same language as finance. And so the great thing about that is then you now have two teams kind of working in unison, access to the same information. You've both got the same company goals, and a tool like workforce planning in itself just really bridges those relationships quite nicely.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk about as it relates to workforce planning is looking at the new year. First of all, that we just want to get out of 2020. Let's be honest. We just would like to fast forward and get out of 2020. But some of this is also, there's a reason to think about workforce planning, you know, in November for next year. You've done obviously workforce planning before, and you use workforce planning at Planful. Why do you suggest practitioners start so early?
Yeah, you know, I think if 2020 taught us anything, apart from the fact that we all need a tropical vacation, it's that any playbook that you thought you had went out the window, and you were constantly in firefighting mode. And so for me, workforce planning is so crucial now, because you want to enter the new year in a more proactive state within your company. You want to have line of sight, not just to the next week or month, but what does the rest of the year look like? And how can you pull those levers as you enter in 2021 and make those adjustments in real time and see the impact to your employee base and then also to your company as well?
So when I've thought about, and I actually demoed different workforce planning applications in the past, one of the bits has always been about modeling and mm-hmm. forecasting. So, you know, in a safe environment, you can model an acquisition, or you can model, you know, a RIF or whatever you might need to model. How have you kind of used workforce planning from a modeling or forecasting perspective?
Yeah, you know, we talk about continuous planning. And so for me, when I think about those different models or scenarios, it is continuous, because you could have a scenario based on X outcome, and a week later, you know, that outcome could have shifted and changed. So, you know, scenarios are kind of crucial to surviving this period and thinking about next year as well. And I think the great thing about our capabilities is it really does give you that competitive advantage for HR and finance leaders, is that you can model out different scenarios and based on those outcomes, you can push that through and trickle that through into those real-time business impacts as well.
So that's perfect. From a team perspective, who's involved? Like, who do we get involved in workforce planning? What is the optimal kind of team that kind of comes together and uses workforce planning, obviously, year round? It's not a one and done type thing, but it is in workforce planning all the time. Who is that?
Yeah, so it would be a combination of, you know, depending on your company size, it would be an HR business partner, a finance business partner. Often they would work really closely with the hiring manager or department head to understand their needs for the year in that proactive state. But then also, you know, as people come and leave your business, those are the people that are really supporting you in those transitions. There's also a really great benefit to bringing in your recruiting teams. So your recruiting teams now have line of sight into any changes that are coming up throughout the year. Again, it's getting them out of that reactive mode and more proactive. It helps the head of talent staff their team sufficiently and know, you know, when is there going to be a lull and when are my team going to be performing at max capacity.
I love that. We had talked just briefly in pre-show about work from home, and I wanted to ask the question about what do you think will be some of the effects of work from home once we get past COVID? Like, yeah. How will we model that? Again, we all went home in March. I would assume that, you know, some folks are going to go back to the office. I talked to somebody yesterday that has 4 children under 5. That'd be 3 in diapers for those at home, and they are climbing the walls and ready to go back to the office right now, actually. But how do we think about workforce planning now that we know that some of these jobs can be done remotely from anywhere in the world, etc.? Like, how do we model that, or how do you think you're going to model that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's such an interesting question. I'd like to think that we're going to get to a state where companies have a lot more flexibility and operate in this hybrid state. There's so many benefits to it because, you know, your talent pool is now not just in one region. You can really hire wherever the best talent sits. So there are definitely benefits to companies to keeping this remote workforce longer than what anticipated. But, you know, from our company, we're also seeing people really miss that human interaction, trying to escape their children or seeing people who aren't their family. And so I'd like to think that companies will probably take the approach where they offer a lot more flexibility to employees so that they can reach more employees, but then also have some sort of HQ where people can come in for business meetings as needed, just to break up the week. Because otherwise, you know, if everyone's going to be remote for the next 2 years, I think we'll have a whole new problem of burnout happening as well.
Yeah, it creates a different anxiety and different mental stresses, which is really interesting. And again, I concur. There's going to be introverts and extroverts. You know, some of those are thriving right now, and some of them are climbing the walls. You know, and some folks do miss. I think there's also, actually, I had someone remind me of this the other day, is a FOMO of if we have a hybrid model, that folks in the office, the people that aren't in the office might, you know, actually fear that they're missing something or missing out on something that's happening in the office. And again, that's a different stress or anxiety, something that we haven't quite thought of. One of the questions that does come up when I talk to folks about workforce planning is, like a lot of HR questions, it's how do I know I've done this well? Like, is there a metric? Is there some type of analytic? Is there something? How do I know that I've done this? How do I know that I've done workforce planning well?
Yeah, I've thought about this question a lot, and I have tried to think of the simplest answer. And to me, it's when you don't feel like a firefighter, right? There are some things that are going to come up day to day in the employee life cycle that you can't get around. But when it comes to planning your teams, where they're going to be, who those new hires are, where those changes are, if you don't feel like you're constantly putting out fires, then I truly believe you've done it well. And I think the ripple effect is that if you can have a proactive workforce planning approach, you should see that in your hiring times. You should be able to decrease your time to hire and get it at a much better rate, because your HR team is in sync with your finance team. Both teams are then in sync in recruiting. And as a result, you're bringing in that talent quicker than before.
Oh, I love that. That was great, actually. Thank you. Best practices. Let's actually talk a little bit about things that you've done in the past and things that you've seen other people do as well, as they look at this portfolio of talent. Mm-hmm. And then they think about the portfolio of talent differently, and they plan a little bit differently. What do you think are some of the, or what are some of your best practices, obviously, because you've done this, but what would you advise folks that maybe have never gone down the path of workforce planning? What would you advise to them?
Yeah, you know, I would say being adaptable, and then coupled with 2020, definitely being very adaptable, because there's no cookie cutter approach. You have to do what's right for your company at that time, where they are right now, and then also be able to be forward thinking to where your company wants to go. And so my recommendation with workforce planning is always being adaptable, having a tool that can automate a lot of that for you and give you real-time insights, so that you're not waiting for other people to update a file and then you're worried about version control and are you even living in the right org. You know, having a tool that can kind of consolidate that for you, bring in different stakeholders in your business to give you some of those insights, I think that's really the best practice of it, is making sure that your data is reliable, you are adaptable, and that the right people are speaking the same language and have the accurate information.
I love that you mentioned data. Where does the data from or for workforce planning, where does it come from? I'm assuming a number of different sources, but where does it come from to then fill in that, you know, fill in the data that you need for workforce planning? Where do you get, what are the inputs?
Yeah, often it will come from your HRIS system. You know, that's going to be your system of record, where you have employee details, their payroll information, when they were promoted, what department they live in. That should feed into your planning tool, like our version of workforce planning. And then when you go into your annual, for some companies now, monthly planning process, you can then model out those different tracks that those employees are taking. So a lot of the employee information will always live in an HRIS system. And when you're planning for those different scenarios or outcomes, that's when you would use a tool like ours.
I love that. Career path, I know we're going to get to ask this question, but for those in HR and maybe even talent acquisition that would love to work in workforce planning, what does that career path look like? What have you seen people that have already thrived in workforce planning? Where have they come from and what type of experience have they had that's helped them thrive?
Yes, I think someone with a finance background would be ideal. But if they've only ever been in the HR space, just someone with a high level of business acumen, knowing that, you know, you can't really live in a silo. The effects of employees don't just touch one department, they touch the entire company. And for my team, I always encourage them, you know, as HR tech is emerging, analytics and people analytics are really becoming this area of focus. And it's so important for an HR team, because sometimes I think when people think of HR, they feel that it's very subjective, and often there's a lot of emotion in that department. But if you can start bringing in data and insights that can help drive those business decisions, and again, as I mentioned earlier, elevating the business's financial IQ, that's really when you become a game changer for a company.
I love that. I love that. Timetable, let's say someone purchases Planful, you know, tomorrow, you know, for instance, what's kind of the roadmap? How long does it take them to kind of get everything up running and then start modeling or start doing the things that they need to start gathering some of that info, you know, insight out of the workforce planning application?
Yeah, this is why I love our company so much, not just because of the people, but I truly, truly am passionate about our product, because I just see the benefits that it has for multiple teams. So you can get up and running with Planful in under 30 days. We've had some clients go live within 2 weeks. And so that is incredible for, again, the adaptability and the flexibility that you need when thinking of planning next year as well.
Oh, I love that. I love that. 2 weeks, a month, that's not that long. And again, if the data is tied to their HRS, I'm assuming you've already got a lot of those connections that are already, you know, to a lot of the HRS is already built in, right?
Correct. Yeah. You know, I joke that HRISs are not the prettiest tool, but they are reliable and they have great reporting. So as long as we can get your data, we can get you up and running.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Is there any industries or, you know, vertical markets or types of companies, size of companies? Is anything as you look across and all the different things where people work, does workforce planning work better in some places and maybe not as good in some other places?
You know, I think if you have employees and you want to model out where your company is going, workforce planning is needed. I would say when it really checks all of the boxes and hits that sweet spot is when you've got a company in multiple regions, multiple departments, lots of changes happening throughout the year. And again, it just creates that visibility. But if you've got employees, workforce planning is definitely going to be able to help you regardless of the size.
It's complexity, right? So the more complexity you have, whether or not that's 150 offices or whatever, more complexity helps, because then you can obviously you'll have something that can model and give you insight into that complexity.
Right.
I love that. Okay. So getting started for folks, timing wise, which is awesome, by the way, 30 days, 2 weeks. That's kind of amazing. For folks that have never done this again, and which I would tell you, out of all the folks that I know in HR, there's not a lot of them that would admit that they do workforce planning really well. Mm-hmm. So you're actually fixing something that I really love. Because it's not something done well elsewhere, or at least as much as I'd like to talk about it. Getting started. So let's just talk about the kit. So, you know, we unpack the software and we get started. What's that first 90 days for them after they've go live? What's that first 90 days, 6 months? What does it look like for them?
Yeah, you know, once you've kind of, as you've mentioned, gone live, I think it's being able to have that holistic view of your company and then thinking about your planning sessions and saying what departments are asking to make changes, what departments are asking for additional heads or for reorgs, and what is that impact? And then also, you know, being able to determine the timing of those changes too. If you did everything on Jan 1, what is the ripple effect going to be for the rest of your year? So I would say once you have the system, start with your planning sessions, go department by department, see what the changes are, and then add them into the system and see the impact that it has on your company for the next year.
I love that. And so that's where we start. What do you, for you, and because you've done this for a while, what are you starting to kind of see as some of the, I don't know, unintended, but really wonderful consequences of workforce planning?
Yeah, you know, for me, it really empowers our managers to make those decisions. So, you know, just because you've got an open headcount doesn't mean that you need to fill it with the same person that was in the role before they left. So can we take a role? Can we hire two people instead of one person? And because everyone is remote, what are the new locations that we can start tapping into? Or, you know, the sales manager always wants to hire so many reps. And is that the right time for that, for them to do it? And so what I love about this tool is, again, it gives visibility, but it also helps you make those decisions that is now the right time. And if we did it, what does the future look like for us?
I love that. Thank you. I know people will ask me about diversity and inclusion and the intersections of workforce planning and D&I. What have you seen or what's been some of the outcomes of either your customers or some of the work that you've done with D&I?
Yeah, you know, D&I is such a big topic for a lot of companies, especially for us as well. I think where it really leads quite nicely is if you can take your planning solution and then trickle that into your recruiting machine. So, you know, again, giving those recruiters line of sight into the hires that are needed for the year, and then allowing them to tailor their recruiting outreaches to be able to fulfill those roles with a more diverse candidate mix as well. When you're in that firefighting role, you're just taking applicants as soon as they come in. But if you know what's coming up for the year, it allows you to partner with many great diversity and inclusion groups to make your talent pool really, really rich.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So one of the questions I would ask, if you're tied to the recruiting solution, that would also mean that you're tied to a lot of the front end, like ATSs?
Mm-hmm, correct. Yeah.
Great. Internal mobility would obviously be another question for folks. How does workforce planning done well? How does it also, is it interlaced, and how is it interlaced with internal mobility?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, it doesn't come back to just workforce planning. It's kind of just planning and planful, right? If it's done well, that's kind of your single source of truth. And so everyone knows what's happening in the business. They know what changes are coming up, what levers, again, that they can pull as well. And if you can make it a robust system where all of your internal systems can speak to that planning solution, again, it just gives that visibility and creates that nice sync internally.
I love that. So the C-suite and the board, what's been your interaction with, you know, great workforce planning? Like, what are they, not only what do they get, but also what questions does it kind of create for them? So now that you have this insight, and you have a little bit more line of sight, as you said, and some truths that kind of come out, you know, I would assume that your interaction with the rest of the C-suite and the board is a bit different. But it also kind of makes me think about, well, what are they curious about? What does it spur on?
Yeah. You know, again, always coming back to this iconic year for us, 2020, a lot of the questions are, you know, how are departments doing? And that you could definitely go soft skills of, you know, how are they doing emotionally? How are we dealing with burnout? But then actually people staffing those roles, you know, do we have enough? When is the right time to hire or recover based on this year as well? And then also, as we think about the future, what are some of the bets that we want to place in the company? What are some of the new locations that we want to open up? Or what are some of these little pilot projects that we want to try out and we need people to man them? You know, a lot of those conversations are, if we tried this, what would it mean for us? And then we have to go back and say, well, it would take 5 people to achieve that. This is what the cost impact for us would be.
Wonderful. Now, and that just creates more curiosity. What's great about that is that when you can answer that with, you know, some certainty, then that just piques their interest into more questions, which I think is great for HR. The more questions that you can, that you can answer intelligently and, you know, with science and math, I think it just gets them even more curious about what's going on, which is, I think is wonderful when a C-suite and board's engaged in HR. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
And it's something you've changed, right? If we think about the last 20 years, I think this really gives HR a seat at the table, right? To be that strategic player. It's no longer a service team. It's how do we help you grow this company and help contribute to those strategic decisions we want to make?
Yeah. That's a true business partner. Yeah, not only you know the business, you're adding a whole lot of value to the business. And again, you can't do that without some line of sight or some insight. Or it's harder. I guess you can still do that, but it's just harder. I know I'll get asked, and you probably get asked all the time, who pays for workforce planning?
Well, it depends on just how big your team is. You know, traditionally, it would be the finance team in combination with the HR team. So, you know, the user case could be an HR person really is in need of a tool. They lock us up. They see all the functionality. They then partner with finance to say, this is not just a single solution for my team, but this is the impact that it could have on the rest of the business. Or you have someone in finance really trying to create visibility for the business and would recommend a tool like ours that can intersect with multiple other teams. So it's definitely a back office team that is going to find this tool and recommend it. And your players that would be in there are finance and HR.
I love it. Thank you so much. Okay. So our title for the show was the need to invest in workforce planning solution for the new year. What didn't we cover that we should have?
Let me think. What didn't we cover? It's a great question. What do you think we missed?
You know, I think I was thinking while you were talking, I was thinking about do employees interact with workforce planning at all? Is there any way, like candidates, is there data that comes from the candidate experience or from the employee experience or alumni experience that informs workforce planning in any way?
No, not that I can think of. I would say, candidate experience, my recommendation would be to track that in your applicant tracking systems. A lot of them have really great functionality that you can send surveys post interviews. You would want to limit your employee access because you would hate for them to get access to things that they're not supposed to. The horror story I had 10 years ago in my career was that our poor head of marketing at a previous company accidentally circulated an Excel spreadsheet for with everyone's salary. And that in itself is the user case of why you need the tool. So you definitely don't want the information getting in the hands of the wrong people.
That is a worst case scenario. Some of it is also just the shock of pay, but also some of it is now it creates a lot of interesting conversations, and some very difficult conversations. One of the things that we didn't cover that I think is basic, but I want to make sure that folks understand it. When workforce planning is attached to the HRS, it's pulling comp data up into workforce planning, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it's pulling comp, hire dates, promotion dates, role, department. It's everything that's in your HRIS can live in your workforce planning tool.
Does performance, of course, now this creates more questions for me. Does performance data come up into it, or does it also would great workforce planning, does it populate succession if done well?
Yeah, so performance data is tricky because you could have different user cases. Or do you tie your salary increases to your performance reviews, or how different companies structure it? What it does do, though, is that at the start of the year, if your finance team says, "Hey, everyone across the board come July is going to get a 4% salary increase," you can model that into workforce planning. You can do different percentages by region. You can also say that this person will start on X date and therefore they would be eligible for an increase on Y date.
And the relationship, or is there a relationship between great workforce planning and the succession plan?
I believe there is, right? I think that when you're looking at different departments, again, different roles, who those employees are and what the future looks like, definitely having that proactive mindset and being able to plan that out and model that out in the future, it definitely helps with your succession planning. And again, the real-time impact to your business as well.
I could talk to you for hours, but I know that we've got to go because we've both got other things we have to do today. Thank you so much, Melissa, for kind of giving us some wisdom about workforce planning. I absolutely appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you so much, William. It was lovely.
All righty. Thank you, and thanks for everybody listening to the Recruiting Daily podcast.
You've been listening to the Recruiting Live podcast by Recruiting Daily. Check out the latest industry podcasts, webinars, articles, and news at recruitingdaily.com.